I'm Heather.
And I'm her identical twin sister, Lisa.
And this is the Busy Siblings Podcast.
The 15-minute podcast with tips for creating sibling harmony and fun activities you can do together to foster sibling bonds.
So if you're raising siblings,
turn up the volume because we know they're loud.
It's snowing here in New England in October.
It chased us from Minnesota.
It did. The kids were just so excited. They went outside and stuck out their tongues and tried to eat snowflakes.
Yeah, Noah even wanted to make a snow angel. That didn't work, though, because it wasn't sticking. Was it sticking where you were?
No, I was only an hour away from Lisa at the time in Worcester. And no, it was like that heavy snow. But, I mean, it was enough to soak them to the bone as they stood outside in their October-like weather wear.
Right.
And we were at my in-laws. I did not come prepared with boots.
Yeah.
Or anything else. And then the temperature here in New England is supposed to get back up to 60 by Tuesday.
So exciting here in New England. That's why we love it.
Hence my cough and the cold.
Nasal congestion.
I don't have any nasal congestion. It's just like a cough.
Really? Well,
like a dry cough, like a cough, like, is it fall, winter, or summer cough?
No one knows.
There it is.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Sorry.
I'll be editing that out.
But before the bad weather came, or the snowy weather, we had an exciting Saturday because Lisa's son Jake and my daughter Brooke, who both take instructional soccer, actually had a scheduled game against one another.
We've been waiting for this for like a month and a half.
Well, what happened is we were all jazzed up about the soccer season, Lisa, as you recall, and we started talking about, you know, weeks ahead. Oh, in October, you're gonna get a chance to play each other. And what ended up happening is they kind of took that and ran with it and did a lot of like smack talk to each other.
Yeah.
These are our 4-year-old children.
When I play against you, my team's gonna win.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we don't even keep score in the instructional soccer.
No, there's no score whatsoever. There's no goalie. And there's no rhyme or reason to how the children run around that field.
But I will say at the beginning of the season, there was no rhyme or reason. But there was rhyme and reason this past weekend.
Yeah, I think they played a little more aggressively.
They stayed like little swarming bees around the ball.
Well, that's what I mean by disorganized and messy. How do you find that to be?
Well, just the fact that they stayed with the ball.
Oh, okay.
Because before, some of them would just not even be near the ball. They'd just be sitting in the field. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah. They'd think of something. They'd see something float by, like a leaf.
Yeah.
They'd see somebody sipping water off field. I mean, anything could distract them.
Right.
So, unfortunately, it got off to a competitive thing, and I think we played a part in it. Because we were like, oh, you're going to play your cousin.
Who played a part in it?
What do you mean?
I think there was one person in this household that really played a part in
was
it.
Does his name start with M and rhyme with Pat?
Yes.
That would be Lisa's husband, Matt.
It would.
Who is the assistant coach on his son Jake's team.
Yes. So he thought it would be fun to be like, help the smackdown.
And then I think, I don't know if you talked to him what happened, but we all toned it down.
Right.
Because we didn't want the kids to get really competitive. Now, Brooke and Jake, as we've mentioned before, are 3 weeks apart. They're very good friends, but I think when it came to an organized sport where there were teams and what they thought were scorekeepers, but there's not, led to them being a bit more competitive than usual. I don't think I even told you this story, Lisa, but the morning of the game, Brooke's like putting on her cleats and she said, I'm going to beat Jake. And my response to her, which I thought was pretty clever since I had not practiced anything, said, the only way you can beat Jake is to have more fun than him.
Oh, wow. That was cute.
Wasn't that good?
Yes.
So I said, if you have a blast and Jake has a blast, you both won.
Well, that blew up.
Well.
Because she didn't have more fun than Jake.
No, what happened to Brooke was a tragedy. And again, we're going to bring up Matt. Why are you laughing? Why? Because you feel horrible about it?
I do feel badly. But Matt is always like, hey, you're going to talk about me in the podcast? And here we are.
Here we are, Matt. You did something wrong? We'll bring you up.
Right. We'll call you out.
So what happened is a glorious Saturday morning. The kids what they do is they practice for a half an hour, and then they play a game for half an hour. So Uncle Matt is out there in his little coaching shirt, running around with the gold team, and Brooke's on the orange team. And we all picked a very neutral position on the field.
Isn't that pathetic we even put thought into that?
Well, I wanted to see Jake. I didn't want to just be blocked from him.
Right.
So usually, like, parents will go around whatever. What's the thing called? The net?
The thing where the ball gets thrown into?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the net.
Do you know for sure it's called the net?
Or the goal?
Yeah. Okay. The net goal thing? Anyways, usually parents, depending on...
Why didn't they ask us to coach?
I know, really.
What's it called again? Basketball hoop?
You head to that end. But right. We were like, all right, let's center ourselves, which we did. And the game began, and there was a lot of hooting, hollering, go, bro. Go Jake, yes. Go Brooke. I mean, I was almost like, I felt like I was two different people.
Well, I bet the orange team was like, what up, Brooke Mo?
Brooke Mother?
Because, yeah, if the orange scored, I'd clap for them.
Right. I think I confused Brooke's team, too, because they'd be like, go Abby. Go kid on Jake's team.
Yeah. I can't remember his name right now.
Right. So what were a good 5 minutes into the game?
I don't know. I don't even know if we got into five before Brooke's fun stopped.
I was busy on the sidelines talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
To turn around and see Brooke brought down into tears and clinging to Uncle Matt's leg.
Yes.
Want to tell them why?
Well, if, you know, I was the same. I was turned, talking to a parent, saw the whole thing. And I actually said, I don't know if you heard me, because Matt was, like, focusing on still coaching while Brooke was hanging on to his legs. And I'm going, Matt, pick her up. I'm yelling across
the field
like a crazy
parent. That's what made
me
turn around. I'm like, what's going on?
So he picked her up. I still hadn't known what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried across the field a gold, coat shirt, carrying the orange.
Well,
little
isn't that
person.
Team work?
That's called real love.
Into my arms. And as Matt passes her to me,
he says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt her.
Yes. Well, he said, I was kicking the ball back into the field because it gotten out of bounds.
That's what it's called, the field.
And it hit Brooke right in the chest.
Tapped her.
Knocked the wind out
of
her. It was awful. And then, Matt was like, yeah, one orange down.
They thought he did it on purpose.
It was a conspiracy.
Of course, funny, but.
So Brooke got to play a total of 2 minutes.
Right.
And she spent the next 25 minutes curled up in my arms as if literally breath had been taken out of her body.
Right.
For good.
Forever. So did she have more fun than Jake?
No.
I'm afraid not.
No, and what ended up happening, unfortunately. Now, I know if Brooke's been hurt and she gets... I think what may happen for her, she gets a little embarrassed too. But anyways, Brooke got hurt and unfortunately it takes her a day to recover from any injury. And we're talking from hangnail to stub toe.
And even, an injury talking about her feelings. Like, if someone has injured her feelings.
Yeah. It's more of a physical thing. But, yeah, I suppose feelings fit in.
Yeah, right.
So, I knew this was what... As I was walking towards Matt to get her, I thought, this girl's just going to be out of the game for good.
Right.
As if she's got an injured groin. I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about what you hear in football. They injure themselves.
Heather's a real sports fanatic.
Huge fan. And, so what we did, our strategy on the get-go, Kevin and I, was to ignore her.
That didn't work. Okay. Ignore her injury? Or?
No, ignore her. No, we were like, are you okay? Wow, that must have hurt. Check for boo-boos. Why don't you take a minute, and then you can head back and have some more fun.
And so when you said head back and have fun, what happens?
I don't know that.
I know.
I had no patience for that because I'm like, listen, we have sweated all season for this game.
Yeah. So get out there and kick some
playoff. This is a playoff. And then I started believing the whole conspiracy thing.
You did.
I was like, he is out for us.
Matt is competitive.
He is. He is a little, he started the whole we're going to beat you thing.
Right.
So I naturally picked up a soccer ball and just hit Jake with it.
Yeah. So then we just started beating Jake up.
Yeah. And Brooke never did recover. She did head over to near her team and the coach, and he had to take her off the field because she wouldn't put her head up, nor would she move.
Oh, yeah. I remember she stood in the field for quite some time, still as a statue.
With her head bowed down.
And
the coach was fearful that she would get hit again by Matt.
So they removed her for safety.
She was removed.
He's got a reputation now.
Overall, though, for the minutes that they did play together, they had a great time.
Yes.
So the competition wasn't that.
Yeah, I didn't see anything where they were, fierce. Mm-hmm. They were just having themselves a good time. And I really wish most sports through the years could be like that. That the focus is on fun and not on competition.
Right. But that's a natural thing. As you get older, you need to develop more skill, know that you have to practice, know that you have to try your hardest. And I mean, and I also agree that the fun should continue as well.
Mm-hmm. Heather, how about your tip this week?
Well, obviously it should be about competitive games and how you should just try really hard to beat your siblings at everything you do.
Because then you'll feel good.
And there is the tip. Well, when you're raising young siblings, especially young siblings, it's recommended that you try to avoid competitive game playing. Because you certainly don't want them to always be a winner and a loser. Because that's going to create more sibling rivalry in your home that you can handle. I know it's unavoidable sometimes. You break out Candyland and there's going to be a winner and there's going to be somebody else. But if you role model for your children while you're playing with them and make sure that you focus more on the learning and having fun and playing than about winning, you're going to be teaching your children an important thing, mm-hmm. that it isn't about that. So my advice would be when you're playing Candyland, if you do win, don't go, "Who's the winner, kids? You think you could beat mommy? You can't beat mommy." Something like that.
Yeah, one of those down days.
That's your tip.
You need to feel good.
So try to find games that really aren't competitive. But when you do find yourselves in them, make sure it's a game that you can focus on the fun. Another good tip is don't do artificial competitive games. And by that I mean don't say, "Okay, it's time for bed. See who can get dressed in their pajamas fast." We know it's a good motivator. But you're setting up your kids to kind of play against each other. A better idea would be to use a timer or the clock and race against the clock.
And not against each other.
Right.
Exactly. And I have a friend of mine that has written a book called Fraid Not. And she's really into having the kids kind of notice what they're feeling. And so, like you're saying, when they're playing Candyland, is to check in with them, like, "How are you feeling about this game? Are we having fun?" And that's a way to pull them into noticing that they're just having a great time. It doesn't really matter the end result.
Hopefully that's how they answer.
Or they could be like, "No, this game really
totally
stinks.
Is awful."
True. But it's worth a try. You could be like, "I'm having a great time. This is so much fun being with you."
Yeah. And, you know, another good tip is, too, is with the games, you never know who's going to win, especially Candyland. Like, if you get that sugar plum chick.
You're way ahead.
Oh, are you?
Yes, the
Who's
tree
the dude
guy.
In the back?
Tree.
The Gumby dude?
The tree.
There's some tree. So, you like, Candyland is a perfect example. You're going to be like, you never know who's going to win. You got to just stay the course. You never know who's going to reach the top or, you know, in what way, in what order. I don't know. Just don't use the word, like, first and win.
Okay. That's your advice.
And there you have it.
Thank you.
From me. Lisa, what is your activity for the week?
Well, this is one of my kids' favorite games. It's called "What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf?" And a lot of people out there might have played it when they were a kid and have forgotten about it. But that's when someone's the wolf and then everyone else is the piggies. And it's even fun if you have someone to carry your baby because they're just kind of walking and playing with you too, or your toddler holding their hand. It's a lot of fun. And the little pigs ask the wolf, "What time is it?" And the wolf can say anything from 1 to 12. And when he announces the number, they have to walk that many steps towards you. So if it's 10, they take 10 steps towards you. And you keep doing
it. Towards the
wolf. Towards the wolf. And when they get really close to the wolf, when they say, "What time is it, Mr. Wolf?" they can say, the wolf will say, "Lunchtime." And then everybody runs and the wolf has fun chasing everybody. But there's no winner or loser because the point is you want to tag all the pigs or just have fun running around and then start all over again.
So everyone gets a chance to be the wolf.
Yes. And a piggy.
The kids love that game.
Honestly, they love it.
To this day, I mean, we've been playing with them for a long time.
We've been doing that since they were about 2 years old.
All right, so here's to non-competition, Lisa. You ready to play some more?
I am. Bring it on.
Let's play the cards.
All right.
Because we can talk smack when the kids are around.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though we're siblings and it should be about fun. I'll beat you at war.
I'm having a good time.
Be sure to check out our website at busysiblings.com.
And join us next week. We'll have more fun stories, advice, and tips.
Remember that sibling fun should start early and never end. It hasn't for us.
See you soon.